So today's show, I need to start with two things, and the first thing is an apology. So it's been brought to my attention that there is at least one person actively campaigning YouTube to get, I guess, me demonetized, me removed from the partner program, maybe shut down. And this, because in each video, their words, I'm literally threatening to punch people in the throat. With this person asking, why are you allowing him to profit off of hatred and threats of violence? Hashtag be better. And so while I know that I could say, I only say I'll punch you in the throat if you don't hit that like button because people get angry when I don't. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it is still my decision, and so I apologize. And so moving forward, I would like to let you know that if you do not hit that like button, I will contact your mother or father, get them to sign a legal contract, then strap them to a rocket and consensually shoot them into the sun. And then two, consider this just a friendly reminder that you only have 6 days left if you want to snag something from the February drop, The Bringer of Sadness, or the I'm Better Than This gear, where, of course, I take each item and I whisper sweet nothings. Rebecca doesn't understand your dreams, girl. You got this. Rebecca's a hater. She also slept with her boyfriend 2 years ago. Do with that information what you will. But with those two pieces of serious business out of the way, welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. It is Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. And let's just jump into the news of the day so you can get back to yours. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is this news around Amy Cooper, or as probably most of the internet knows her, Central Park Karen. Right? She's that white woman who called 911 on a black man who was birdwatching in the park after he asked her to leash her dog last May.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking pictures calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man into the Ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the Ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
Following this incident, a big chunk of the internet was like, oh, this Amy Cooper Karen, she's a racist, let's tell everyone about it. And she was also eventually criminally charged for filing a false report. But the update today is that charge has now been dropped. And this actually because prosecutors asked a judge to dismiss the charge because Amy completed a therapeutic educational program that covered racial biases. And in a statement, the assistant district attorney said, given the issues at hand and Ms. Cooper's lack of criminal background, we offered her, consistent with our position on many misdemeanor cases involving a first arrest, an alternative restorative justice resolution designed not just to punish, but to educate and promote community healing. And this also following Amy's therapist telling prosecutors that their 5 sessions together were a moving experience where Amy learned a lot. You know, like with most stories, but especially with this one, I would love to know your thoughts on what we are seeing here, because even prior to this, there's been a massive debate on what was the right way to deal with this. Or even Christian Cooper, which I would say is the victim of this situation, for his part said he had no reaction to the news that Amy's charge was dismissed. But as you might remember, he expressed mixed feelings about the prosecution when it was announced months ago and declined to aid the investigation. Also, at the time, writing an op-ed arguing that it was a mistake to focus on this one individual when the incident highlights the wider issue of racism in America, saying, focusing on charging Amy Cooper lets white people off the hook from all that. They can scream for her head while leaving their own prejudices unexamined. They can push for her prosecution and pat themselves on the back for having done something about racism when they've actually done nothing, and their own Amy Cooper remains only one purse clutch in the presence of a black man away. Also writing that he supported punishments that fit the crime, and even said that he thought anti-bias training or some community service would be fair. And so with all that added, I ask you once again, what are your thoughts on this? Then in how is this a news story, but I kind of get it, but I mainly don't get it news. Today, we had Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles in the news because she said a nice thing about him. Right, so Olivia Wilde just finished filming her latest movie, Don't Worry Darling, and in several Instagram posts, she thanked members of the cast for their work. And among those, she shouted out, you had Florence Pugh, Chris Pine, and of course, Harry Styles. And in her post about Harry, which, I mean, there are also rumors that they may be dating, whatever, she kind of praises Harry while somewhat throwing shade at other male actors. Writing, little known fact, most male actors don't want to play supporting roles in female-led films. The industry has raised them to believe it lessens their power, i.e. financial value, to accept these roles, which is one of the reasons it's so hard to get financing for movies focusing on female stories. No joke, it is hard to find actors who recognize why it might be worth it to allow for a woman to hold the spotlight. Enter Harry Styles. And so she praises Styles, we see a lot of people supporting that, and then we kind of saw this wave of backlash pop up, but maybe not in the way that you think that it would. Right? Because you had people seemingly annoyed that Harry Styles was being praised, seen as this kind of like feminist icon for doing the bare minimum. Or with people asking, wait, is the bar for men just on the floor? To which I would respond, yes, next question, please. What if that's just where I ended the story? Here's the deal, I try not to both sides stories as much these days, but I understand the frustration on all accounts. In general, I don't think it's this crazy, groundbreaking move that Harry Styles, who, as far as a film actor, isn't incredibly storied, doesn't have like a massive archive that he would take a smaller role in a film being directed by Olivia Wilde. You have Florence Pugh, who's fantastic leading it. But I also don't doubt Olivia Wilde that there is this stigma for male actors. Obviously, it's anecdotal, but it's actually, I think, something that Matthew McConaughey hit on in his book when he decided that he would be in Contact, even though he wasn't the main character. So ultimately, I find myself thinking this feels a lot like a lot of people nitpicking like they usually do, but it's on a different level, understandably, because of the pandemic, and a lot of people don't have anything better to do, especially because we all don't think the country is going to explode any second now. Next up, let's talk international news, starting with Myanmar. Following the military coup there, the protests we've already seen, it's led to thousands of more attending protests over the last week, as well as new charges for Aung San Suu Kyi, who's the country's former leader. We also saw on Saturday the military give itself the power to search, arrest, and hold people for 24 hours without charging them with anything in a move to intimidate would-be protesters. And the crackdown measures really escalated when on Monday, military leaders announced up to 20-year prison sentences for anyone who opposed the coup. And this morning, there were court proceedings where Aung San Suu Kyi spoke with judges and was charged with breaking the country's natural disaster law. Now, it's unclear what exactly she did to allegedly break the law, but we do know the military has applied to other former officials for breaking COVID-19 restrictions. And it will also be on top of existing charges that accuse her of illegally importing walkie-talkies, as Myanmar has severe restrictions when it comes to unregistered communication devices. We then look to China, because China has just released more information regarding a massive series of coronavirus vaccine scams that have led to the arrest of at least 70 people. The scams are reported to have started around August to September, and involved various groups of scammers filling syringes with saline or mineral water and claiming that it was a vaccine. Some of these fake vaccines were reportedly given to the public at makeshift clinics. Others were sold to private individuals and groups. Some were sent abroad. Also, there were reportedly even attempts to sell these to hospitals. And according to the court documents, one group alone made a profit of nearly $3 million. Reportedly, that group's leader was arrested this week, has only been identified as Kong. Investigators say that he researched the packaging of real vaccines in order to better pass off his 58,000 counterfeits. So with all of this, Chinese authorities have vowed to crack down on vaccine scams, which of course received widespread praise. But at the same time, this comes as there is criticism regarding the rollout of the vaccine in China. This in part because while the country had planned to vaccinate 100 million people by today, so far they've only reportedly managed 40 million. Additionally, this also comes as there are doubts about the efficacy of China's two vaccines made by Sinovac and Sinopharm. Both were initially claimed to be around 78% effective, but trials in other countries have found that Sinovac's is around 58%. And then finally, for this section, we look to India, where right about 2 weeks ago, the Indian government accused a range of influencers and celebrities of interfering in internal affairs after they showed support for the ongoing farmers' protests. Right, you have the likes of Rihanna, Amanda Cerny, Mia Khalifa, and others raising awareness. The last two also mocking narratives that the farmers or the influencers were paid to protest. And Mia has actually shown continued support for the movement, constantly drawing more attention to it. But easily the most controversial and most focused on thing was a tweet from Greta Thunberg. Right, and this because Greta sent out a document that was both a call to action and a guide over how to support the protest. And that document, according to the Indian government's narrative, was part of an international conspiracy to get influencers involved. Although it wasn't exactly clear who was behind it. But that said, the author of the document was seemingly revealed this Saturday when the Indian government arrested 21-year-old Disha Ravi for sharing the document with Thunberg and other activists. She's currently being held for 5 days under India's wide-ranging sedition laws known as the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, or UAPA. When I say wide-ranging, I mean it. India has used these laws to crack down on everything from leading rallies to posting political messages on social media, and now to sharing documents with other activists. Now, according to Indian authorities and some papers there, Ravi knew she was in violation of the law, with them pointing to messages she allegedly sent to Thunberg, such as Ravi panicking after realizing her name was on the document, writing, "Shit, shit, okay, can you not tweet the toolkit at all? Can we just not say anything at all for a while? I am gonna talk to lawyers. I am sorry, but our names are on it, and we can literally get UAPA against us." With police claiming this is partially why the initial tweet by Thunberg with the document, it was deleted, with her then releasing a second tweet and a revised version. Police also claiming that Ravi had deleted various WhatsApp groups and messages related to sharing the document internationally, which is what prompted them to arrest her. However, many of these claims have been denied by Ravi, who, in a court appearance on Sunday, actually denied being the author of the document or even the person who disseminated it, claiming that she had actually only edited two lines. And in addition to the main issues at hand here, her arrest has also fueled widespread concerns about the deterioration of free speech in India, with many lawyers and activists saying that this widespread use of vague sedition laws has stifled dissent and is becoming more and more common. And then let's talk about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in the news. And this because yesterday he responded for the first time to allegations that his administration covered up the coronavirus death toll in his state's nursing homes. So if you don't know, Cuomo has long faced backlash over how his administration has handled the day data for COVID-related deaths in nursing homes. For nearly 6 months, the governor has been locked in a battle with the Empire Center, which is a conservative think tank that requested a full account of resident deaths under New York's Freedom of Information Law. And then, about 2 weeks ago, the state attorney general published a report accusing the Cuomo administration of undercounting the number of people who have died in nursing homes by the thousands. And then a few days after that, a judge ruled in favor of the Empire Center's request, which then forced the New York State Department of Health to publicize more than 3,800 unreported deaths of nursing home residents who had died of COVID in outside facilities, such as a hospital. Right, so notably, those tallies have previously been left out of the state's official nursing home death tallies, and since their release, the number of deaths connected to nursing homes in the state has risen to about 15,000 from 12,743 in late January. So already, it was looking bad for Cuomo, but then things got worse last week when his top aide, Melissa DeRosa, admitted on a private call with state legislators that the administration had withheld data to prevent a possible misconduct investigation. During that call, DeRosa, the top non-elected official in the state, apologized for withholding the nursing home death totals after lawmakers in the Justice Department asked for those numbers in August, saying we were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice, or what we give to you guys and what we start saying, was going to be used against us, and we weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation. So that story broke. You have lawmakers on both sides strongly condemning Cuomo and his administration, many demanding investigations, some calling for Cuomo to be removed from office if his involvement was discovered. You had DeRosa responding last Friday, reiterating what she said on the call, but it wasn't until yesterday that Cuomo himself admitted any degree of fault. Speaking at a press conference, Cuomo said that things should have been done differently, and adding,
there were people requests, there were press requests that were not answered on a timely basis, and that created the void that I'm talking about. And then once you create a void, people spread disinformation, this conspiracy theory, they're not giving this information because of this, because of this, because of this. I take responsibility. We should have provided more information faster. We were too focused on doing the job and addressing the crisis of the moment.
But very notably there, you had Cuomo also insisting that the nursing home deaths were always reported correctly and transparently, claiming that the matter was just a difference in categorization and that nursing home residents who died of COVID in hospitals were counted in those totals. And adding that when state legislators requested information about the residents beyond place of death, his administration told them that they were temporarily pausing the request to fulfill the DOJ's inquiry first, which they did in September, with Cuomo also insisting that the move was not politically motivated. But when asked if he apologized for his actions, Cuomo just repeated that he had already said he made a mistake. State. Now, unsurprisingly, that didn't cut it for many state lawmakers, with both Republicans and Democrats quickly criticizing Cuomo's response. Many members also saying they were never told the delay in data was because of a possible federal inquiry, with many also questioning Cuomo's claim that his actions were not politically motivated, pointing to the fact that after his administration answered the DOJ's inquiry in September, they still refused to respond to the lawmakers' questions for months, even though the DOJ never opened an investigation. Instead, waiting 5 months until they were legally required to release the data to do so. So that is where we are now, but obviously this is a story we're going to keep our eyes open for. Also, in other political news, we had the NAACP this morning filing a lawsuit accusing Donald Trump and his personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani of conspiring with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers to incite the Capitol insurrection with the goal of stopping the Electoral College certification. With the lawsuit alleging that by intentionally preventing Congress from carrying out its official duties, Trump, Giuliani, and the two far-right extremist groups violated the Ku Klux Klan Act. And it was passed as a response to KKK-led violence and intimidation that prevented Congress from carrying out key duties during Reconstruction. And it includes protections against violent conspiracies that interfere with Congress's abilities as outlined under the Constitution. Some of the other specifics we know is that the lawsuit was filed on behalf of Representative Benny Thompson, who was reportedly forced to hide on the House floor with many others during the insurrection, and is also seeking an unlisted amount of compensatory and punitive damages, with Thompson saying that he wouldn't have brought this lawsuit if the Senate had voted to convict, saying, "This is me and hopefully others having our day in court to address the atrocities of January 6th. I trust the better judgment of the courts because obviously Republican members of the Senate could not do what the evidence overwhelmingly presented." Though it might not just be him. In the statement announcing the case, the NAACP also noted that other members of Congress were expected to join as plaintiffs. But also, that wasn't the only bit of insurrection fallout news that we saw today. Like I mentioned yesterday, there was bipartisan support for a 9/11 commission-style panel to investigate the insurrection. We ended up seeing later that evening House Speaker Nancy Pelosi formally announcing that the House would move to establish that commission, with her writing in a letter that the House will move to investigate and report on the facts and causes related to the January 6th, 2021 one domestic terrorist attack upon the United States Capitol complex and relating to the interference with a peaceful transfer of power. And notably here, the 9/11 commission that Pelosi said this panel will be modeled off of was entirely independent of Congress and led a 20-month investigation into the cause of the September 11th attacks and how to prevent a similar event. After the investigation concluded, the commission provided several recommendations that ultimately led to a broad restructuring of intelligence coordination and congressional oversight. And if this insurrection commission is actually based on the 9/11 model, it will also be separate from Congress and have both broader authority and fewer time constraints to pursue testimonies than congressional committees already investigating the attack. But this is just the beginning, and so we'll have to wait and see what actually happens and what this would actually look like. With this, and honestly, any story that stuck out to you today, of course, I'd love to know your thoughts down below, because this is the end of the show. As always, thank you for being a part of my daily dives into the news, subscribe and hitting that like button, all the good stuff. Also remember, you only have 6 days left if you want to get in on the February Shop DeFranco drop. Also, I got more stuff for you to watch right there, but as always, I love your faces, and you've just been filled in with news that matters for people that care. I'll see you tomorrow.